In Matthew and Luke, with these next few weeks, we're talking about the end of the world, and these readings are a little confusing because Jesus begins by making a comment about the beautiful buildings they're surrounded by, how it's going to all be destroyed, and then goes on to talk about the end of the world. Because in Matthew and Luke, they put Jesus' teaching about the temple at Jerusalem being destroyed with the end of the world, because the two, one is like the other. For Jerusalem to be destroyed was like it was unthinkable, and the end of the world will be like Jerusalem being destroyed. So the two are put together. We have to separate them to see what Jesus is talking about. And what he's saying is, you are people who are going to go through something for me. It will come to all of us. All of us are going to go through a trial of our faith. Some will be worse than others. This is why we pray, do not put us to the final test in our Father, because the people at the end of the world are going to have a huge challenge to their faith. But all of us are put to the test with various trials that come along. I was thinking out here today with the parking and stuff, I was out there watching y'all park. I started Mass 5 minutes late on purpose today. But when I first came here to visit this parish in 1991, I came down from the seminary. It's new in Oregon. And if the Lord had stood there and said, you're going to stand here and watch this entire parking lot get torn up, and then this building come, and all this will happen, well, I would have said, I would have said, Lord, take me now. but you know, it's organic, you know. We grow into that which God asks us to do. I think today's reading is both a warning and an opportunity that when these things come, we have to, if we rely on the Holy Spirit, God, we are going to flourish. Notice he says, no matter what you go through for me, you may lose your life, your fortune, your family, whatever happens, not a hair of your head will be touched. No matter what they do to you, you're going to have it all back and flourish. So we have nothing to worry about except not following what the Spirit asks us to do, because some opportunities never come again. Speaking of opportunities, any of you had the opportunity to go to Israel and see the Wailing Wall? No, just a few, huh? I took the opportunity to go with the seminary. Every couple years, the Abbey has a tour, and it's a really good one. I paid a lot of money for that tour, and we went there. We went to the Wailing Wall, which is basically what Jesus is talking about here. It's still there, some of these stones. And what you see when you go there, I put a picture in the bulletin that I took myself. You can look at this. You've all seen it, but we don't always know what we're looking at. Below the plaza was built by Herod the Great, and it's still there today. But everything above the plaza was destroyed by the Romans. They didn't originally intend to destroy this. They wanted to profane the temple and turn it into a pagan temple. But the Lord did not want that, apparently. And by accident, it was set on fire and exploded. So it must have been a horrible sight to watch this, if you can imagine that. And when they were finished, all the beautiful colonnade that was around the exterior was all thrown down, just recently built, 40 years. They were building this thing, and all the stones above ground level were thrown off. And that's the way it was for many years. They built a Greek temple there for a Roman temple to their god, to Zeus, on the spot of the temple, which must have been awful. That was there for about 200 years. When you look at the Wailing Wall today, everything below ground level is Herod's stones. They never took that off because it was supporting the platform. Above it, you can see where later generations put another wall up, and the stones are much inferior. What Herod did was brilliant and beautiful, and we had a tour of that. Like I said, I paid a lot of money for this. Some of my confreres had a free trip, and one of them, having not had this all paid for, we had an extra little bit you could pay, I think it was $35, and have a tour under the Temple Mount. And I thought, if I paid $4,000 for this trip, I'm going to pay $35 and go under the temple. Well, this individual who got a free trip thought it was too expensive and stayed outside. And I thought, he missed his opportunity, because that was the most interesting piece of the trip. And you go under there, if you ever have a chance to go, the stones there have been untouched for 2,000 years. Wars, time has not touched this. And you see these stones as they were originally created, and they're a marvel, like the votive offerings and the precious stones that they marveled at. One of these stones, and I'm not exaggerating, is as big as a school bus, perfectly cut. How did they get that up on this hill 2,000 years ago? Nobody knows. and it's there, supporting the platform under the temple, which its natural contours is the top of a hill, so it's built up on the sides to make a flat space out of this hill. Jesus looks at this, and he says, all of this will be thrown down, and nobody can believe it. But these things happen in history, don't they? Last week, two weeks ago, I think we had a horrible typhoon in the Philippines, and people ask why. A few years ago in the Indian Ocean, there was that tsunami that hit the coast of India and other places and caused a huge amount of loss of life. In our own country, we can think of other times when this occurred, such as we're at the 50th anniversary of President Kennedy's assassination. So I can't believe it's been that long. But those of you who were alive then, we all have not forgotten. And the same with September 11th. These are almost like parables of life seeming as though nothing's ever going to change, and in one day, the whole world changes. This is the way it was with the destruction of Jerusalem. To this day, people think of that as one of the worst crimes of one human being against another. How could we do this to each other? And yet, it happens all the time. What I think the message here for us is be careful of the choices we make, because ultimately, the Lord giving us free will while we live on this earth is going to give us ultimately what we choose. He spends a lifetime guiding our choices so that we will make the right ones. And the Holy Spirit teaches us what is good and what is not. One leads to the destruction of Jerusalem. That's our sins. The other leads to eternal life. And we're constantly going back and forth between the two. How interesting it is that we hear about one stone not left on another when our parking lot is in an uproar. We are the only people that will ever see this. We have to remember that you were here, and if I'd have warned you last week, if I'd have known about it, you'd all be at St. Vincent's this week. But I didn't know to warn you. So the Lord wanted you to experience this because it's a kind of a destruction of Jerusalem, isn't it? And we've been through this. Of course, this leads to life. But the choices we make do not always lead to life. Could we have made another choice with September 11th if we'd seen it coming? You see, it was a terrible thing, but God would use this to teach us a lesson. And the lesson, of course, is our choices matter. When our Lord talks about this, he says, nation will rise against nation, there will be earthquakes and famines. This does not necessarily mean the end. You will know when the end comes. Instead, all these trials are meant for our spiritual growth and not for our destruction. But we have to be careful because sometimes God offers us opportunities that will never come again. And what I'm talking about is the opportunity to make a sacrifice for someone we love or to take a path, though difficult, leads to life. I keep thinking about this building project. I've said this a couple of times before, but the thing that really grabbed me of all the town hall meetings we had and other ones with people in this parish, and I struggled with what to do myself, somebody made the comment that, Father, the risk of doing nothing might be greater than the risk of doing something. And I think that was the case in this one. And I think this is true in our lives as well. Sometimes the harder path leads to a lot of trials. But the risk of taking the easy path is often the one that leads to destruction in the end. Think of somebody with an addiction, how hard it is sometimes to pull out of that. And yet, what's the end game? You see, our Lord gives us various opportunities and chances to move in the right direction, or an estrangement in our family. How many funerals I've done where there's an estrangement and people come together there that haven't talked in years? This leads to a death in the family, not just physical death, but the death of relationships. Periodically, God gives us opportunities to make a rapprochement. Do we take that opportunity, or does it lead to eternal death? This is the kind of a destruction of Jerusalem that we've all experienced. Sometimes we miss an opportunity to invest, and we think, oh, I wish I'd done this, but how many spiritual opportunities does God give us to make a small sacrifice? I was thinking, if there was ever a time to leave early at Mass, it would probably be it, but all the gold is at the end of Mass. You get to the end of time, and God's, well, you see, oh, I went to Mass every Sunday. How did you get so much gold? He said, well, I passed it out after communion. I say that because I watched some people try to beat the rush after Mass Day. I thought, well, I can understand this, but can we make a little sacrifice for God today? if you were at the Super Bowl, somebody was telling me the Super Bowl's coming up, we might have we thought our church is going to open on Super Bowl Sunday, and it's not. And I thought, how many people would wait to the end at Super Bowl, but they won't make a sacrifice for their family or for God? I think our Lord is just giving us, he says, look at the signs in your own life. Most of us, please God, will never experience the destruction of Jerusalem or anything like this. But we do have times when God shows us, if you continue on this path, this is going to be the result. But I'm giving you life, though it is a harder path to follow. So our Lord just gives us, says, look at the signs in your own life. What is it that you and I are called to do in life? God will, when the Lord is truly calling us, it's going to be a path that's challenging. He doesn't call us to a life of ease, but it always leads to life, to dignity, to glory for God. And no matter how much we lose or think we're losing on the path of life, not a single hair, not a single cent, not a single moment of our lives is ever lost, but all of it is returned tenfold, and we also achieve there a relationship with God that lasts forever, because with him, we have truly then been through something with somebody we love, and we have something to share with God forever.